Sure. Okay. Good. So our next presenter is Tom Fox, and he's presenting for, is it Jose Zerpa?
Mm-hmm.
Correct? On fine root production of loblolly pine.
Okay, thank you. First, I want to acknowledge Jose Zerpa. This is all his work, but I take the blame for the errors in the presentation. Jose is a postdoc working with us, and he's actually got a job interview this week, so he felt that might be slightly more important than making this presentation, so he asked me to do it. But we'd like to talk about the work that we're doing looking at fine root productivity in some clonal loblolly pine stands. And you're probably familiar, clonal forestry is a reality in the southern United States. Through somatic embryogenesis, we're able to create clones, and they're being deployed fairly widely because, as you can see, they grow fairly well, fairly uniform, and so there's some advantages from a timber production standpoint. The difficulty is that clonal forestry has to be linked with intensive silviculture, and so the advantages you get from these elite genotypes are only evidenced in high-intensity silvicultural systems. So if you look on the left, this is the same clone, planted in South Carolina. This is low silviculture. We basically bedded the site, walked away, and planted the trees. This is weed control, fertilizer, and all the things that we normally do to improve growth. And you can see that the clone overall performance is vastly affected, but also uniformity. And the other advantages we get from a clone disappear when we don't use intensive silviculture. So we've established a series of studies across the southern United States to look at this interaction between clones and silviculture. And so we have two sites, one in Virginia in the Piedmont, one in the coastal plain of North Carolina. The Virginia site is sort of a typical Piedmont ultisol, very well-drained, and the site in North Carolina is also an ultisol, but more loamy, somewhat poorly to poorly drained. We have two silvicultural regimes at each site, a high intensity and a low intensity, and then at each site we have six genotypes. So we have four clones, a open pollinated family, which we designate OP, and a control mass pollination family, so it's a CP family at each of those. We have a third site that we won't talk about, but it was planted in Brazil with the exact same clones, which we moved to Brazil this year, and so it's in Santa Catarina State in Brazil to look at hopefully the difference in productivity between these three regions. So you can just look at the sites. The Piedmont is a pretty typical eroded ex-agricultural field about two rotations ago. Typical well-drained ultisol. It's actually mapped as a Fairview, but most of you would know it as a Cecil, but they changed the mesic and thermic temperature line about 10 years ago, so they changed all the names. The soils didn't apparently change, but the names did. And then in the coastal plain, it's a sort of like a Pelham series, loamy, poorly drained ultisol as well. So site preparation also varies a little bit with intensive versus the management. So we have bedded sites on the wet site versus flat planted. And here is the six varieties that we planted at the end of the sixth growing season. So the open pollinated family, the mass control pollinated family, clone 1, clone 2, clone 3, and clone 4. And you can see that they're different. And we picked them to be somewhat different, of course. So that's what we're looking at. And you can also see the intensive versus operational. Even at age 2, we're starting to see much better growth in the intensive managed stand versus the operational, both in the coastal plain and the Piedmont. So this is the coastal plain site. And so one of the questions that we have coming out of this study is we see differences in above ground productivity, but we have seen very little change in leaf level physiological processes when we try and understand why the clones are growing differently. You've just seen that they grow differently, but if you were to measure photosynthesis rates and respiration rates, the photosynthesis rates are almost exactly the same. Loblolly pine seems to photosynthesize at like 5 micromoles per meter squared per second. Regardless of the species, regardless of clone, we don't see much difference. And yet we start wondering, well, what? They're growing differently. So how are they growing differently? And one of the questions is, well, maybe it's below ground allocation patterns that are responsible for the differences we see in the above ground growth of those trees. And we've seen that in a number of other studies. So we wanted to look at, in this particular research that we're doing, is to look at the below ground processes and see if determine the effects of the clones on the production and the horizontal distribution of fine roots, and determine fine root growth and phenology. So we have two short experiments that we did to test that. The first experiment was simply looking at fine root production or fine root length, and so we used intact cores. So we took intact soil cores. We took two trees in each plot per clone, and then we do the 5 by 20 centimeter bulk density cores collected at each tree, and we collected them at a various distance from the tree, so 40, 80, or 120 centimeters from the tree. We elutriated the roots and extracted the roots, and then used WinRISO software to calculate root length, and then we also have, of course, height and diameter and all the mensurational characteristics. And so here's the results from that particular study. And so the presentation is, again, the distance from the tree, so 40 centimeters, 80 centimeters, or 120 centimeters. The colored bars represent the clones on these soils, the coastal plain sites, so clone 1, 2, 3, and 4 that we have, and the coastal plain site versus the Piedmont site. And so, and the statistical differences are presented. So distance is from the tree was statistically significant, and there is a site-by-clone interaction. And so what you can see, generally, there's a decrease in fine root production as you go away from the tree. The further away from the tree, the fewer roots, of course. This is a young stand. They haven't closed Karen yet, so we would expect that. But you can see some very interesting differences among the clones in the fine root production. Clone 3, for example, doesn't seem to change fine root production as distance increases in the coastal plain site, but does so in the Piedmont site. You can also see generally there's less root production in the clay Piedmont site than in the coastal plain site across all the clones. But the clones, what we're interested in finding, I think, interesting, is the clones are reacting differently. So there are differences in fine root production among those clones that we're seeing, and that gives us this clone by site interaction. If you relate the fine root production to tree size, and so we're using crown diameter, so we have height diameter, but we selected crown dimensions as kind of the criteria, you can see that typically there's a strong relationship between fine root length that we've measured and this crown diameter in both sites, the Piedmont and the coastal plain site. But again, you can see if you start looking at the individual clones that are represented by the colors, we see differences among those clones. And so the clones are, again, reacting differently to those at each site. So, you know, that's the first experiment was trying to look at these clones. The second question we asked in the second experiment was, well, let's look at ingrowth and actually fine root production rather than just the standing fine roots. And so in this experiment, we took, again, two trees that were average for the plot. And we established six ingrowth cores were established, again, at 80 centimeters, just one distance from the tree. We established the cores, and then we're sampling them in April, July, and November to look at fine root production. And again, we're doing the same thing, extracting and elutriating, and using WinRISO to calculate root length. And so here's an experiment, so kind of show you what we're doing. We're extracting the cores in this concentric circle, so there would be six of them across here. And then we're trying to recreate the soil using the same soil. So we took the soil from the site, we sieved it, grind it, removed all the soil, and then we're putting it back in the same process. So we have in the Piedmont site, we have a fairly shallow surface horizon and then right into the clay. So we're taking the clay and that surface, and we're trying to recreate that. So we recreate the depth in there, so we pour in the clay soil, then we pour in the topsoil, and then we put the forest floor back so that we're trying to recreate. We're not using sand. We're trying to see root ingrowth into the same soil textural that we have. And so here we simply only have the results from the April collection. Again, the two sites, the coastal plain site, the loamy, poorly drained site versus the Piedmont. I should mention these were done on the beds on the poorly drained site. And so you can again see the amount of fine root growth into those cores that we have starting in April. And so you can see the site was different, of course. There were more fine root production in the loamy site than the clayey site. There was a site by silvicultural interaction again, so the intensive management, which is represented by these crosshatch bars, tend to have at the coastal plain site, at least for this clone, much higher fine root growth. And this one, some of these not so much, less at the Piedmont site, the impact of silviculture. And in fact, it's interesting that this interaction is quite interesting to us. So in the coastal plain, it produces more in the intensive. On the Piedmont, it produces less in the intensive. Go figure. And that, we again, the site by silviculture and the silviculture by clone interaction. So again, what it's telling us is these clones are reacting differently to the silvicultural systems and to the what we're doing. And if we again relate fine root growth to height growth, there is this inverse relationship among all the clones. So if we look at all the clones in the Piedmont site, we see that as tree growth increases, fine root growth decreases. So again, the trees seem to be allocating. If they're growing faster above ground, they're actually allocating less to below ground. And we've seen that in a number of other studies of looking at silvicultural impacts with that. But again, if you start teasing out the clones, that story isn't as clear. Some of the clones have a very strong relationship with that, others not so much. And so the clones are reacting differently to these silvicultural treatments and how they allocate below ground process, their carbon to below ground processes. So in summary, what we've seen is, you know, is certainly nothing remarkable about this. As the distance from the tree increases, there's less fine roots, at least until crown closure, probably. Clone by site interactions and fine root length is proportional to tree size with that. But the fine root production was greater in the coastal plain site, and that the site by silviculture and clone by site interactions are important. And really what it's telling us, I think, is the importance that these clones are reacting differently. And that's what we've seen with all of our above-ground ecophysiology. When we look at photosynthesis, they have different mechanisms of getting big. Some clones are much more efficient at photosynthesis. They produce more photosynthesis per unit of leaf area, and that may be the mechanism that they get large. Other clones may be allocating carbon differently, and that's the mechanism that they get large. And this is really important to us because as we try and design silvicultural systems, we need to understand those clones and the mechanism they are using to get large, and that might influence how we implement our silvicultural systems, or at least to understand as we develop new clones and do breeding programs, what are we looking for? You know, because trees that allocate more below ground might be better on drier sites where nutrient availability, water availability is more limited. And so there's some interesting implications that are coming forward. And so, again, I want to acknowledge Jose. This was all his work. I don't get to do anything anymore except come and present when he's not here. But also the Forest Productivity Co-op supported this, the NSF Center for Advanced Forestry Systems, Virginia Tech, and the Virginia Tech Sustainable Engineered Materials Institute all provided funding for this work. And if there's time, I could take a question if you'd like.